Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, I was your host, Evan Sider, and joined by co-host Brendan Kleen. We're back from you guys from a 3 or 4 day hiatus from the holiday break. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We're back with you guys right after the buzzer here at the Suns Magic game. We'll go over the rest of the games you missed later this week, but 122-120 was the final score tonight in Orlando. Really was a great game to watch, Brendan. I know we're going to go over some stats and notes here really quickly, but Devin Booker had another monstrous game, and he's looking like the guy we thought we'd see in preseason with 35 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds. And I guess we can start off here with our free throw, Brendan. That's going to be my pick, Devin Booker, and we'll touch on him a little bit more. I'll toss back to you for your thoughts. But ever since his injury, just the re-aggravation of the hamstring, you knew from the very beginning there that he wasn't right. But ever since he came back against Minnesota, Brendan, he seems like the guy who could be – really, in the last few months of the season, one of the best scorers in the NBA as far as points per game goes. And we're also seeing the assists go up really well. He's really slowly but surely forming into like a James Harden type of player ever since he returned from injury.
Yeah, he's been really exciting to watch. I agree. That's been my main kind of way of thinking about it, is he looks exactly like we were expecting. I think not only just the typical shooting that we've come to expect, but learning how to kind of choose his spots really effectively. And I think, you know, combination of having more talent around him, but also some support from Igor Kokoschkov. We've seen it in a few games now, but tonight's fourth quarter, Booker didn't have to check in until about eight or nine minutes left, if I remember correctly. And for all intents and purposes, put that game away, if not for a kind of crazy foul on Mikal Bridges on DJ Augustine late in the fourth quarter at the buzzer there. But Booker really put that game away. He missed his last four shots, but at one point he was 13 of 20. So just efficient, not using a lot of energy, just really impressive all-around scoring performance, really all-around offensive performance for the past, what is that, six games since he returned?
Yeah, it's been six games, and I'm looking at his stats here. He's averaging 30.6 points, 5 rebounds, and 8 assists per game while shooting 47% from the field. 35.5% from three, especially after tonight's game where he shot 5 of 8 from three. It really helped his 3-point percentage. And also his defense, he's averaging over a steal per game over the stretch. So he's only 22 years old, Brendan. That's just pretty crazy to say that this guy at this rate is turning into this type of player.
It's definitely crazy. And we should mention the defense before I switch over to my free throw. That two steals tonight, a block, but the steal that really mattered tonight was at the – about a minute or maybe less left in the fourth quarter, he picked, I think it was Terrence Ross's pocket, DJ Augustine maybe, and went to the other end, caught a really dicey pass in traffic, and then dunked it to put the Suns up 2. Like I said, basically closing the game, if not for that foul. So really awesome to see that if he can just make impactful plays like that on defense. Now, I think his effort and overall effectiveness on defense has been pretty solid this season too, not just making, you know, steals and big plays like that, but any way he can contribute, I think is going to be pretty necessary for him to be adequate and above average, hopefully eventually on defense against good teams. So to see plays like that on a close game is really impressive and exciting. But my free throw, we're just going to do one tonight each to give you guys another little shorter episode to slide in during the holidays, but my free throw is going to be Kelly Oubre. It's actually kind of tough. I really wanted to go with TJ Warren. I thought he was incredible in the fourth quarter, made a couple quick shots in the maybe two, three minute range in the fourth quarter, but it'll be Oubre just for his start to finish performance, just consistently showing what a nice fit he is on this team. And maybe not always the most efficient, but takes a lot of tough shots, has a lot of bravery going down into the rim area and putting up crazy shots that more often than you'd expect do go in. And I think with the bench problems we've talked about all year, that's really important.
Yeah, 19 points tonight for Kelly Oubre, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, a steal and a block, 3 of 6 from three as well. Kelly Oubre shooting 50% from three since joining the Phoenix Suns. Is it just nice to see from your point of view, Bryn, that we touched on it really with the second unit throughout this season that they need a go-to guy, a guy who's not afraid to put the ball in his hands. TJ Warren was kind of our guy in preseason because we thought he'd be a sixth man. But Kelly Oubre is kind of taking that role and running with it here.
Yeah, and it's really incredible to see just how quickly, like I said, he's kind of put that second unit on his back. And you know, on a night like this, when Eli Okobo is in the game for long stretches with Jamal Crawford inactive, and even when Crawford's in there, you know, the bench doesn't have a really, you know, ideal point guard in that role. Jackson kind of fills that in a little bit. Crawford, of course, as well. But Oubre's taken some of that ball handling. I think as silly as it sounds, the fact that he's in the last year of his rookie deal, it's not like he's 32 or anything, but he's quickly become, I think, a trusted part of this team, and especially that bench unit. And the scoring is just really vital already to this team, to have him come in and be able to provide that when Booker and Warren are both on the bench, or even when one of them's on the bench. This team benefits from having multiple scorers at all times, and Oubre's allowed them to fill in those gaps much more easily than they were before.
Before we go on here to our second segment, I wanted to ask you really quickly about Oubre. He was a plus-minus leader at plus 15 for the Phoenix Suns, but the three-man unit of Kelly Oubre, Josh Jackson, and Mikal Bridges, also you can sprinkle in TJ Warren there as well for the closing unit, taking out Josh Jackson there. But those four wings, surrounded by Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, they seem to be almost the perfect blend of what you're looking for as far as freakish athleticism, really good length, multiple guys, plus seven-foot wingspans, really to help cover up deficiencies for Ayton and Booker on that end.
The wingspan is exactly what I was going to mention. You, without Crawford in there, without obviously Troy Daniels is only a, you know, break in case of emergency type of player for this team. Fortunately, that was not the case last year, but they've added so much talent that he and Dragan Bender really rarely see the court, and Ryan Anderson's not playing anymore. So there's really no one on this team outside of Devin Booker who doesn't have pretty like freakish physical gifts. Between Oubre, Bridges, Warren is kind of the closest thing to being an average physical guy on this team besides Booker right now, and that's saying something because he has pretty elite strength and size for the 3-4 position. So you watch and it's just it's so much easier on these guys to play defense than it was with some of the rotations they were pulling out last year or even this year when Crawford's playing heavy minutes. When Isaiah Kanan was playing, it was just really tough to compete on defense. But you put guys like that that are pretty ideal for the modern NBA and defending teams like the Magic, and it just looks so much smoother. It's like kind of a why did we not see this sooner type of thing. But obviously, those guys don't grow on trees.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm sure we're going to get into it with our flagrant foul here. But before we go on to that, I wanted to touch really quickly on our Locked On NBA Twitter account. If you guys aren't already following it, you should be doing so by now, but I'm going to keep hitting on it because it's one of the more valuable resources on Twitter. Brennan follows it. I follow it. You get live coverage right as it happens on Twitter from guys like me and Brennan, but also everywhere else in the NBA. I mean, if you want to follow on the Magic side of things, there's a Locked On Magic crew. You also have the Locked On Jazz, Locked On Nuggets. We have every NBA team. We also have the Locked On NBA draft coverage coming soon. So that's going to be really fun to watch. And it's really, really cool overall to see the growth that we've seen. So if you're not already doing so, at Locked On NBA, pause the podcast. If you're really listening on a different app, go onto your computer, your phone, go on the Twitter app, type in at Locked On NBA Net, and give them a follow.
And before we go any further, I want to touch on Homie, our favorite new sponsor, and really a great way to buy and sell a house. As the new year approaches, I know there's a lot of folks who probably are looking into 2019, thinking about making a big change or starting the next part of their life. And a lot of the time, if you're moving or if you're just, you know, getting a new job and have some stability, you're looking to buy a house, that's something a lot of people are doing. And I think Homie is increasingly quickly becoming the best place to do that in Phoenix. So what Homie does is sell any priced home for the same low cost of just $199 to list and just $1,299 at close. So it's cutting out all of the needless commissions and fees and charges that come along with hiring a real estate agent and just doing the simple transaction of buying or selling a house. Just all the money stacks up. But when you go to Homie, that's exactly the opposite. They save you a ton. So when you buy a home with Homie, you also can qualify for up to $5,000 on a buyer refund. So these guys really are there to save you money, to help you along the way, and to cut out the unnecessary fees and charges, like I said. So their motto is, we've got your back, and they really mean that. What we're going to do to partner with Homie and provide you even more of a reason to go check these guys out is to get you $100 off, an extra $100 off that listing fee of $199. So it's going to be just $99 to list your home at homie.com or on the easy-to-use Homie mobile app with the phone number, not an offer code this time. It's a phone number. 602-892-3335. That's 602-892-3335 to get $100 off that listing fee and go check out everything Homie is offering in the Phoenix area. Alrighty. Yeah, flagrant foul on a win like this, a big win to close the road trip. There wasn't a lot that went wrong, but I do think there were some areas. You know, I think Elia Kobo, I was kind of expecting going in, okay, Jamal Crawford's out. You know, Juwan Evans, I still don't think is really going to be too much of a part of this rotation. Let's just see what Okobo does. And he was actually strong, unexpectedly. I really liked what I saw out of him, but that would normally be right where I would go with the flagrant foul because I think he's been a really weak spot for this team. But today, I would just say I think there was some yeah, I guess you could just say like game mistakes. I think Eddie Johnson in the broadcast put it really well when he said that foul on the corner against DJ Augustine with about 6 seconds left, you know, that probably wasn't a foul. There was very little contact, if any, but what Eddie said is just you can't put the official in the mode of having to, you know, decide whether it's a foul. You shouldn't be pursuing the ball that hard and even giving the official a choice. You know, the odds of Augustine hitting a tough contested shot over Bridges' arms with the clock running out is pretty slim. So I think little stuff like that, the offense kind of sputtered out in crunch time. They went into conservative kind of like clock saving mode at the end of the fourth quarter and overtime. Booker put up some questionable shots. Like I said, missed his last four. So fortunate to come out with a win because their defense was good when it mattered, but just some little things where you could see their inexperience and just not being in a ton of close games this year, I think it is coming back to haunt them in some of these contests similar to Washington. But wins like this, I think, will eventually turn that around. It's just, you definitely see it on nights like this when there's some little creaks that make games a lot closer than they should be.
Yeah, as far as that goes, I think De'Anthony Melton, who only played 18 minutes tonight, was going to be my flagrant foul because he just had a really tough time against DJ Augustine and also Elia Kobo. Yeah,
weird on that one.
Yeah, really weird. Also, four fouls. I think some of those fouls are little phantom calls here. And this is going to lead to my main flagrant foul. I don't know if this is a cop-out, Brendan, but, man, those refs tonight were just egregious. And especially that last call to send them overtime. That was easily, I think, since we started doing this podcast, we started right for Bright Side of the Sun. He didn't even touch him. Mikal Bridges didn't even touch him on the play.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. 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 It was painful. I think actually really quick too, credit to the broadcasters, because I think there's a lot of teams broadcasts where it would be just let's pile on the refs for that. And credit to Eddie Johnson and Kevin Ray for not doing that, because it's pretty unbearable when teams broadcasters pull that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm also, I know, you know, you and I aren't the type of people to pile on about officials. And from the Suns' perspective, there's rarely been games they've been close enough where it's even mattered. But you notice it on nights like this when you're like, you know, on the edge of your seat, hoping the team can pull it out and have their road trip pay off. And yeah, the refs were not doing them any favors. Not just on that last one. I agree. Melton had some weird ones on Augustine. And it's not like the Magic are some veteran team that deserves all these calls. It was just really lopsided today. Maybe it was the real home court advantage. Maybe they're giving the Magic some Christmas presents. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, it just seemed like on that last play, I just want to go back to it for a second because I filmed it on my Twitter account. And I kept going back at it. I'm like, should I tweet this out? Should I tweet this out? Because I made sure to see if Mikal even touched him or not. And from the vantage point I saw, by the way, I watched it on the Orlando Magic broadcast. I'm out of state right now, and they were saying it was a foul call, but Mikal Bridges didn't even touch him there. So just I don't know if it's a cop out, like I said, Brendan, but that's my flagrant foul tonight. It's the refs, and that's probably the first time, maybe the only time I'll say it all season.
Yeah, that's fair. I definitely agree. It made things a lot harder than that needed to be on the Suns tonight. But before we go on and give you one last number to look for before we head out and come to you for the rest of the season as normal. No more Christmas or anything like that. I wanted to tell you guys about the Locked On NBA show. And in particular, because I like to give you guys a little bit of a taste, give you a reason to go check out the fabulous work we do over there. The Christmas Day episode that David Locke, our network owner, did with Kevin Pelton of ESPN was just really awesome. A lot of deep dive on not so much specific games or anything, but philosophical stuff, just kind of like what's going on in the league, what changes are we noticing, what's really kind of causing some of the stuff, whether it's offenses going wild or pace jumping up, or, you know, why do threes continue to rise, just all the different types of big picture things that those guys are perfect at putting into putting into words. And obviously Pelton's great for that as well. So go check that episode out and go subscribe to that show, because that's just a little taste of what you can expect every day on Locked On NBA. Okay. I didn't do the math quickly enough, but my stat to watch is just the combined percentage. It's these teams were 27 of 60 from the free throw or from the 3-point line tonight combined. You'll be hard pressed to find two teams both shoot that well in one game ever. And I think the defenses, I mean, the Magic defense wasn't so great, but the Suns defense was pretty solid, and the Magic just shot from three so well that it almost didn't matter. They still got to 120.
Yeah, it's just really crazy to see, and it's kind of holding the trend now, Brendan, where if the Suns are hot from three, well, whoever they're even playing, they usually win the game. They shot, for me, 13 of 24. That's going to be my stat to watch, 54.2% from three there. Especially Kelly Oubre, 3 of 6 from the field. Devin Booker finally gets out of his slump. TJ Warren, who I think should be in the three-point contest at this point, he's going to be shooting near 48% by the time All-Star break comes around. Him and Booker might be a fun little three-point contest in February.
Yeah, it's he might be. I mean, he might enter that stretch leading the league in three-point shooting if he keeps this up. So TJ should definitely. That would be the most surprising entrant of all, but it would be super fun to watch. He's automatic at this point, and I think that's another underrated part of what Oubre has brought to this team, is just another knockdown shooter. The spacing with those lineups you brought up earlier, not only the defense being so difficult to deal with for opponents, but the spacing is just exactly what Booker needs to operate between Oubre, Warren, Bridges. Bridges wasn't super great today. He had a couple wild ones, actually. I think he airballed a three at one point early in the game, but just in general, those guys being on the court with Booker and Ayton makes things way more open than they were when you think about, you know, Ryan Anderson and Isaiah Kanan or some of those guys that were out there for heavy minutes early in the season. But yeah, it's fun. I think that was pretty obvious. We both were going to hone in on the 3-point shooting. That was definitely the story of tonight's game.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think just one more quick bonus stat I'm just looking at here, the blocks. I know it really won't be talked about much because his name's not Luka, but DeAndre Ayton's really putting together. I know he's really passive tonight, especially in the first half on offense. He only finished with 7 field goal attempts in 34 minutes, but I think this is four straight games now, Brendan, where he's had multiple blocks in a game, and it's back-to-back games now with 3 blocks in a row. I think he's slowly but surely, there's definitely maddening lapses here and there, but he's figuring things out as an anchor.
Yeah, the defense was really great, especially in the fourth quarter and overtime. I think he had 2 of the blocks right at the end of the game, and took this. I think you could tell on that matchup with Nikola Vucevic and limiting what he was able to do offensively. And I think that's a big reason the Suns won, because the second half of the game here in Phoenix, Vucevic really was able to dominate, and that's why the Suns or the Magic won that game. And I think it was kind of the opposite, where Vucevic faded a little bit. He had a couple post-ups that were successful in the fourth quarter, but overall wasn't really controlling the game like he did. And I think a lot of that was Ayton, but corralling those rim runs and everything and at the very end of the game, I think was a big, huge part of why they won, because the overtime score was 4-2.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it was 4-2 until I just checked the box score there. And that game ground to a halt in the final 4 minutes there. That was just crazy to watch. Really a crazy game overall. But anything else as far as today's game you want to hit on, Brendan? And over this 7-game stretch for the Suns, they're 5-2.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and I think everyone's excited for them to come back home. And fans, I think, will be showing up a little more. Some fun opponents, too. A lot of West Coast playoff teams come next, and will be a good challenge for the Suns.
Yeah, that's for sure, guys. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow for our usual episode. We'll figure out what to talk about then. But until then, guys, we'll talk to you guys later. And again, hope you guys had a Merry Christmas.